Hey, Wes, what do you think, buddy?
I think that today we are actually blessed for a couple reasons. One, we just got done talking with the amazing Ben Gay the Third for the fifth time. So you just got to love that. And I'm sure that there's going to be a sixth and all sorts of other things that are going to be, awesome with that. But today's guest is near and dear to my heart there, Randy, because you're having a magician on.
I know I'm almost afraid with a magician as a guest and a magician behind the scenes, I may just disappear.
Well, I was just getting ready to make a joke and let everybody know that on many occasions, Randy will let you know that I've disappeared many the meal and Dr. Pepper in front
Yes.
of Randy. So he has definitely seen me do some magic.
He does some magic and it's right in front of my eyes. The quesadilla is there and then it's not. It's just boom, just like that. It's amazing. Well, hey, we've had a great day, and it's just amazing spending time with you, my brother, doing the stuff we love, right?
Well, there's nothing like racking and stacking. We've done as many as five. We've done as little as two, at one time. But I guess as little as one, because today, David gets the ability to come in as the our lowest amount in the one category. But it's great regardless, because we're loving what we do and doing what we love, which is the way to go.
It is. And we meet amazing people, have amazing guests, listen to amazing stories every single day. And I think if we just quit talking, we'll probably go do that right now. What do you think?
Let's do that. Let's bring on
Yeah,
Dave.
let's go get David. All
All
right.
right.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Boom! Just like that.
Hey, what's going on?
Man, just living the life, buddy. Living it, loving it, owning it, man. You know?
Nice, nice. I'm in my basement. We're having siding put on the house right now, so it's really loud upstairs.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. You're a magician. You make the sound disappear. Come on, let's see what you got.
That's right.
Let's see what you got.
Well, hopefully it's okay down here. And if it is okay, that is the magic then. That is,
take that. Take that.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, good. Well, thanks for coming on. You and we got to know each other at least two, maybe 3 years ago. If we hadn't met before that, but we've met at the, in Dayton, Ohio, at the Metal Roofing Summit.
Yeah.
And you do a great job of emceeing that show.
Well, thanks.
And
it's a lot of fun for a guy who has no idea what I'm doing there. It's a lot of fun.
Well, in the evening after I've had a couple Dr. Peppers, you sound way better.
Well, that's why I tend to do a lot of those type of events. That's the first thing I ask when they book me. Will people be drinking? Good.
Yes.
I will be much better.
Yes, it does make you better. I get,
yeah.
I'm actually consider myself, Wes and I consider ourselves quite funny. Nobody
yeah.
else does, but he and I do. And it's amazing as the evening goes on at trade shows, by midnight or so.
Right.
David, I am freaking funny, buddy.
You're hysterical.
Oh
yeah,
my God. I have to sit
it.
Down. I have to sit down sometimes. It's just,
yeah.
I am too funny. Yeah. It's the funny part is nobody else thinks so, which is probably the funny part, but
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so, you do some really cool stuff. When you MC, you do, and there's a word for it, but the walk around with the crowd, with the
like
what do you call that?
Magic.
Strolling magic.
Strolling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of fun. Being one-on-one with people what I hear most of the time is like, wow, I've seen this on TV and always thought it was fake or it was camera tricks or whatever. And then when they see it right there in front of them happening in their own hands or right there at the table in front of them, people freak out. It's a good feeling to be able to give that feeling to somebody.
Oh yeah. And you do a great job with it because you did one with me a few weeks ago and a little side table out there outside of the show hall. And I knew you were going to not get it right. I just knew it. It's impossible. And you did. It was just,
yeah.
Yeah,
it was. I will tell you, it was luck that time. It had never worked before. I probably shouldn't give that away. I was as surprised as you were.
Oh, that's even makes it better, I think. So you're. I kind of list you as a a magician, comedian, motivational speaker, MC. You also, is this correct? You co-host the Ohio Lottery cash drawing or something like that?
Not the cash draw. It's a game show. It's a half hour game show that airs every Saturday. It's called Cash Explosion.
Okay.
And you have to get on the show by scratching off a scratch off ticket and get an entry and then sending it in, getting your name drawn out of thousands and thousands. But we give away every Saturday night between $150,000 and $250,000.
Wow.
On that show. I've done that for going on 17 years now.
It's really?
Wow. Yeah.
Man, that's amazing. Yeah. Well, that's good stuff. That's pretty cool. So how did you get into all this? I mean, I always love people's story.
Yeah, it was unexpected. I was in Myrtle Beach, 20 years old in Myrtle Beach, Barefoot Landing. A lot of people, that probably sounds familiar to a lot of people, Barefoot Landing, a little shopping area on some water. Yep. Walked into a magic shop. I was by myself at the time and I wanted to get out of the heat. And of course, being a 20-year-old guy, I wanted to see some magic. This was obviously before like social media. So you didn't see magic as often as you can now. So I went in, the guy did a couple tricks and he's got like 10 or 12 people standing around the counter, and two things happened. One, I wanted to know how he was doing what he did, the two tricks that he did. So I had to buy him. He wasn't just going to tell me. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I want people to pay attention to me like they're paying attention to this guy. I kind of like it. Before then, I wasn't doing anything as far as like in front of people. I was just what I'd call a normal guy. but I wanted that attention. And when I bought the tricks, came back to Columbus, Ohio, I was working at Ticketmaster at the time. Started doing magic for some guys there, some of my coworkers, and one of them said, there's a magic shop right around the corner. And I had no idea, but there was, back in like an office complex, and started going, and it's the one hobby that stuck. And I don't know if it's because I was 20 and no other hobby came along after that, but I was just really, really into it. And thinking back, I mean, it started off rough, like really bad, bad magic. But here we are 32 years later, and it's paying the bills. I believe it's led to everything that I do now. Even the show, for example, Cash Explosion, I don't do magic on that show, but I feel like learning magic and learning how to interact with people and riff and just go off the cuff with folks led to me getting that job eventually one day. So, the magic for me was a very, very good thing.
That's awesome. And you do it so well, like we mentioned before. You do it very well. You're a fun guy. You're a funny guy. And one place, because I'm kind of, as you know, I'm a sales guy, or I'm a sales jockey.
Right.
That's my day job. You've got to be, let's talk about being an entertainer. If you want to be good in sales, right?
Yeah.
Because you have to be, you can't be, you don't have to be, but if you want to be successful, right?
Right.
You got to be a meaningful, interesting experience, not just some dry guy that says, yeah, my price is $12. How many would you like? That's not particularly fun, right?
Right. Well, and if you think about it, magicians, especially in a strolling event, are salespeople. Like when I walk up to an event or walk up to a people standing at a table at an event, a cocktail hour, I have to sell myself. They're having their conversation, and it's not hard to get in. Like, hey, my name's David. They've got me here. I tell them, I say, my job today is interrupting conversations. they brought me in to interrupt conversations. You want to see a card trick? I just try to make it fun. But then after, as you get started, you have to sell the entertainment, or they're going to see one trick and be like, okay, that was great. Thank you. And you just ruined their conversation by jumping in and showing them a bad trick or bad entertainment. I've had a chance to talk with a lot of young magicians, and I tell them the magic that you learn, these magic tricks that you learn when you're young and you first get into magic, all you want to do is learn tricks more and more and more. Teach me more tricks. But even more important than the tricks, if you want to be an entertaining magician and a working magician, you need to be entertaining aside from the magic. The magic is a part of it. The magic is a big part of it. But I've seen some really great magicians that I can watch and think, wow, that was really good. But the entertainment value isn't there. Like, they can fool me with the trick, and that can only last so long. I tell these young magicians, like, if you were at a party and somebody took your cards from you, you should still be entertaining. Whether it's, funny stories, you're just fun with people, you can riff with people. Being a good magician is so much more than just knowing a couple tricks.
Well, and what you just said is, having seen you in action, both emceeing and and you always mix in a couple jokes. You're you're engaging and entertaining, and you're right. You want to get buy-in from your customer, and in your particular case, whether it's myself as a sales guy or whether it's you and selling your magic, selling your, what you're doing, you're really as people buy as our friend Ben Gay was just on live with us. People buy from who they like, trust, and want to do business with, and want to be friends with, right?
Right, right, absolutely. And I when I walk away from somebody, whether it's after doing my stand-up show or an MC event or the magic, I don't want them thinking, wow, he was a great magician or he was really funny. I want them to think that was just fun, period. That was good entertainment. And even like the MC bits that I do, most of the time, 99% of the time, if somebody invites me to MC an event, I'm going to put as much laugh in there as possible. Now, there's plenty of times I do a lot of charity events where some of the stuff that we talk about is not fun. But I believe laughter is good medicine. I believe it's healing. I believe it's powerful. I believe it brings people together. So I try to throw as much of that in there as possible. And then you talk about sales. I mean, if you can be, I don't even say funny as much as just fun. If you have a fun air about you, man, that's gonna improve things so much for you.
Well, exactly. And I think you just hit on it. There's a difference between fun and funny. Funny, not everybody has the ability to deliver great jokes, right? There's a real talent to that. But I think everybody has the ability to be fun, just fun to be around. And like you said, when you're talking about, you walk up to somebody and interrupt their conversation to do a card trick for them, you want them to want you to, well, would you show me one more? Do you have another one?
Exactly.
As opposed to, when the hell is this guy going to leave?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You know, and I think that's the same thing in the world of sales, because even if most of people I'm involved in very non-transactional, it's relationship building, it's B2B, even though it's still P2P, because everything is people to people regardless, but as a description of what I do. But so it's a process of days and or visits and correspondence. So it doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
And nobody wants to hang around with you if you don't bring some sort of value outside of just, you got this widget and I guess the price is sort of okay, so I guess I'll probably buy that. You know, that's a short-term deal, right?
Right.
You want to get, and you want repeat business in what you do. You know, you kind of like Todd Miller and the boys at Isaiah to maybe bring it back next year.
Well, yeah. Yep. And it's got to be, I want people to talk about me when I leave. You know, I want them to talk about the MC. That was great. So if they're talking about me, then number one, the event must have been fun. And if they talk to the people that brought me in, that's a good thing. I get back and do more work. And I just love doing what I do. You know, I just love being in front of people. So when you love doing what you do, it makes it easy for it to be fun and for you to be a fun person. One other thing that I do that I started about 8 years ago is speaking at high schools and middle schools around the country. And one of the things I tell these students is to laugh often. You know, I've done full talks to corporations on like the power of laughter and how it reduces stress. But in my like research and studies on laughter, statistics say that like babies and toddlers laugh or smile 300 to 400 times a day, and adults laugh or smile 10 to 15 times a day. So in that time between child or between baby or toddler and adulthood, what is that time? That's your school. You know, I tell the students that's your school career. And somewhere in there, we forget to laugh. But I tell them, you know, like name one miserable person you want to be around. We're around plenty of miserable people,
right?
But name one that you actually want to be around and you can't. And I try not, you know, I run into a lot of, you know, if I go and do a strolling event at a cocktail hour or social hour, there's always one person that just seems a little miserable. I try not to judge because I don't know what they're going through in that moment. But, right. But man, it's life is so much better if you can just wake up and decide I'm not going to be miserable today.
Yeah. And you know, things get thrown at you in life, and I talk that way all the time. Wes does. We really believe in the, you know, love what you do what you love, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But that doesn't mean you're not going to have a bad day.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Week. But I've always believed that with that, you can't let 20 minutes of suck become 20 weeks or 20 months or 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Yep. You deal with it, you move on. But finding if you find joy and happiness and just love what you're doing every day, then you're not working ever.
Right. I don't work at all. I mean, I don't. I was the guy that books me for the schools I speak at texted me today about an event I had just done. And I told him, I said, I'm really missing, you know, this time of year. It's, you know, we're going into or in May. Schools obviously stop. And I told him, I said, I really miss the schools this year, especially for some reason. I miss traveling. I like to travel. I like to I like talking to students. I like the fact that the students that I talk to, there's some that you can tell that you may not be reaching, like especially nowadays, they have their phones, whether you're allowed to have them or not. And every once in a while, you'll see a student on their phone. And just the challenge of bringing them in with whether it's the magic or the stories or the message itself. I just love doing it. I just love doing what I do.
Well, and when you love, you know, not only when you love what you do and do what you love, does it make your life better? But that you will exude that mentality into your in your case, your people watching your show. In my case, working with a client, right? Customer friend. You can impose that without trying to impose it, because you just, I don't know, I just like the guy. That's just it's fun to be around. And that goes a long ways toward making a good long lasting relationship that that they'll continue to come back and do business with you, right?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's they'll know if you're having a good time. And you'll see, like in my stand-up show and even in my MC stuff, I'm constantly laughing or smiling, because, and that's very real. You know, a lot of stuff I do is very interactive with people. You've seen some of the games I've played on stage. Mm-hmm. I'm just having a good time. And it's all very, very real to me when I'm laughing on stage, I'm having a great time. But it makes life so much easier.
It does. It is. And life can be challenging enough sometimes with the things we run into a day-to-day basis. We don't need to make it more challenging on our own.
Right? You're right. You're absolutely right. You want to hear one of my favorite magic stories?
I'd love to.
Okay, it takes a couple minutes, but it's worth it.
Let's do it.
Funny. So this is back when I had a normal job. I worked at a place called Lucent Technologies. This was not long out of high school. Right before, when I got laid off from there, was when I decided I need to do this comedy and magic stuff full time. And that's when it led to all the other stuff that I do now. We're talking back in maybe the beginning of, this was probably about 2002, I think. I was doing magic on the side, and my boss at the time, a guy named RC, super cool black gentleman. We were in the process of all being laid off from Lucent. They were closing the doors. We know we were out. They had moved me from first shift to third shift on like a skeleton crew. And we're just building circuit packs for cell phones. And I'm working in this one area, and there's like five of us back there working. And he comes back one day, and we have to wear smocks because it's a super clean place because of the electronics. And he comes back and he says, "All right, McCrary." He says, "Everybody talks about this magic that you do. I've never seen you do any magic." And I said, "Oh man, RC," and I patted my pockets. I'm like, I don't have anything on me. I'll have to bring a deck of cards tomorrow or something. And he goes, "Well, a real magician could do magic with anything." And I said, "Oh, okay. So I said, "Well, do you have a quarter on you or a dime?" I reached in my pocket. I can't remember. We found a quarter and a dime. I told him, I said, "Hold your hands out." And I put a quarter in one hand and dime in the other. And I told him, I said, "Make a fist, wrap your hands around those coins." So he wraps his hand. I turn his hands over like this. And I grab his wrist and I bang his hands together. I said, "Now open them up." And they should have switched places. And he opened up and they hadn't switched places. I'm like, "Okay, hold on a sec. Let's try this again." So close your hands again. So he closed them again, grab his wrist again, bang his hands together. I said, "Open them up now." Open them up again. Still hadn't changed places. And he's like, "All right, McCrary, I don't know what people are talking about, but it looks like this is a trick you need to work on." And I'm like, "You're right, RC. I do need to work on this trick. And until I get it down, I'm going to sell watches." And I pulled his watch out of my pocket. I had stolen his watch off his wrist when I banged his hands together. And he's like, "Okay, all right." He takes it. And he's in his own mind, he's like the coolest guy in the world. So he's like, okay. He fastens his watch and just walks away. Comes back a little bit later. We're sitting there like on this assembly line. He says, "All right, McCrary." He says, "That was good." I said, "I'll give it to you. That was good. You got me, but you won't get me again." I'm like, "I know. I can't. There's no way I can get you again. I can't get your watch again. That's going to be impossible. I have to take that when you don't expect it." So like a week later, I had made up, and this is probably why I got laid off. Nobody ever worked. I had made up a wallet with a thin string on it that I would set out occasionally in the hallway or in the aisleway. And when people went to pick it up, I'd pull on that string and, you know, it'd skip away from them.
Yep.
So we see him walk. He walks to the back of the plant. Like, this is a big place. So I see him walk to the back. And again, we're on third shift, so not a lot of people around there. So I take this wallet and I set it out about 50 yards from me. And maybe not 50 yards, maybe 20 yards from me. And it's just sitting out there in the middle of this white floor, just this black wallet. And I keep looking. I got the end of the string and I keep looking over. And finally, he comes back out from the thing and he comes walking out. He stands right above the wallet. And he looks down and kind of looks around, sees nobody around, goes to pick it up. And of course, just as he gets this far from grabbing the wallet, I whip it out from underneath him. Yeah. And remember in Scooby-Doo when the cartoon, they would stand up and run like this and then take off? That's exactly what he did. He ran and didn't move for a good 3 seconds. It scared the snot out of him. And he could hear us all laughing. We're all laughing as he's running back to his office. So he comes back a little later. He's like, "All right, McCrary, that was good. I know that was you." I'm like, "It was. I got you twice, RC. I got you twice." And he's like, "Okay, that was good, but you won't get me again." I'm like, I won't. I can't think of what else to get you with. So he leaves. No joke. A week later, I swear this is all 100% true. A week later, he comes back and I'd brought in what's called bounce, no bounce balls. So they're two little rubber bouncy balls. They look identical. One bounces, one doesn't bounce at all. Okay. So I told the people I'm working with, I'm like, "Hey, what we need to do is when we see him up around his office, which is, you know, down the aisle way a little bit, when we see him walking around up there, we need to, the five of us need to stand up in a circle and just start laughing. And, you know, he'll come back to see what's going on. He knows we should be working. Why are these guys back here laughing?" So we see him up there. We all stand up. Oh, before that, I told one of the girls, I said, "Here's what happens. When he walks up, I want you to bounce this ball, bounce it, laugh, and hand it to me. I'll bounce it as he walks up and I'll hand it back to you." I said, "He's going to ask what's going on. So when he does, just tell him that your husband bought this ball at Spencer's Gifts. And supposedly the higher it bounces, the better lover you are." So it worked. It worked perfect. He comes walking back. I'm like, "All right, here it comes. So just as he walks up, she bounces it. She hands it to me. I bounce it. And when I go to hand it back, I switch it out for the ball that doesn't bounce.
Right.
So he's seen it bounce twice. And he almost like he had a script handed to him. He said, "What are you guys doing?" And Lori nailed it. She's like, "Well, supposedly the higher the ball that bounces, the better lover you are." And he goes like this. Snaps his fingers and holds his hand out. So she puts it in his hand. And no, I'm not kidding. He takes that ball and he looks up with very high ceilings at this place. He looks up, doesn't even look down, throws the ball down on the ground to get it to bounce. And the people I'm standing with hadn't seen it. I just told them it wouldn't bounce. They hadn't seen it not bounce. But it literally, it hits the ground like this. It doesn't even kind of bounce.
And so
and it lands on the ground. And he keeps looking up. And he knows it's not coming back up. He's like, "Okay, okay, okay." Keeps his head up and walks back to his office. And we're laughing the whole way. He comes back. He's like, "All right, Lori." He said, I know you teamed up with David to get me on that." He said, "I know you did." And Lori's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." I'm like, "She did. She did. That was me, RC. I've gotten you three times now." He's like, "All right, but it won't happen again." I said, "RC, for real this time, I'm out of ideas. I have no idea how to get you. So you're right. I will not get you again." The next week, he comes back. Rumor was that he was a third degree black belt. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what we had heard. And so, like I said, we had to wear smocks. He always had one hand in his pocket, walking super cool. So he comes back to me and he's like, "McCrary, I got something for you." This is like I said, a week after the bouncy ball thing. He said, "I got something for you." And I said, "RC, I'm not interested. I don't care what it is. I'm not going to fall for anything because I've gotten you three times. I'm not going to fall for anything." He goes, "Nope." He said, "I'm not going to get you with something." He said, "Here's what I'm going to do." He said, "I'm going to hold my hands like this." And he put his fingertips together and he said, "You let me concentrate for 15 seconds and you will not be able to pull my hands apart." I'm like, "Sounds great, but I'm not interested, RC. I don't know what you have planned, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to fall for anything. I've gotten you three times. I'm not even going to let you get me once." He's like, "Nope." He said, "I swear to you, I promise. Just let me focus. Let me hold my hands like this. Let me focus for 15 seconds. And no matter how hard you try, you will not be able to pry my hands apart." I'm like, "RC, I'm not going to do it." He goes, "Oh, come on," like this. And he goes like this and stretches his arm out and his sleeves come up to about his mid arm. And I see his watch. I'm like, "All right, I'll give it a shot." So I wrap my hand around his wrists again, just shaking him like like making him think I'm trying to pull his hands apart. I'm not trying. I'm just trying to shake his hands enough so he didn't realize that I took his watch again. So I get his watch off. I put my hands down my side. And I'm like, I can't get it, RC. That's good. And he's like, see, that's impressive. I'm like, that is. And I let him walk. He turns around and walks real, real arrogantly back to his office. And I step out into the aisle and I'm watching him go back just before he turns into his office. I'm like, RC. And he turns around real, like I said, real proud of himself. And I pull his watch out of my pocket. And I'm like, I got your watch again. He's like, yeah, God, are you kidding me? He had to walk back. I made him walk back and get his watch from me. Stole his watch twice. But oh my gosh. That's by far my favorite Magic story. Got him three times and got his watch again because he offered it up.
Oh, that's funny.
Love it. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
He also was the guy that walked me out my last day. He was the one who walked me out when we got laid off. And I think he was happy with it.
That was his day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Well, so look at the humor and the fun you just brought to the group. Uh-huh. I mean, let's face it, putting little iPhone packs together at midnight in a warehouse is probably not the funnest thing in the world, right?
Right. And to know, like, you know, it's at that time, I know that I'm going to lose my job soon. And at the same time, I have no idea. Like, and that was my kid at that time had just turned two. So my wife had we decided that when he was born, she was going to quit work and raise and, you know, be at home with him. And so then this wrench was thrown in there. And that I can still remember that moment. I'm still telling that story. In a tough time in our life when, you know, I'm going to lose my job, she's going to have to find something, or I'm going to have to find something again. It was a scary time, but it felt good to laugh even back then.
Mm-hmm. So, it does. Yeah. So you enjoy the, and you kind of touched on it, but the, when you talk to schools, is it junior high, elementary, high school combinations?
It's middle school and high school. Okay. They've asked me to do elementary school. I just can't connect very well. I don't do a lot of kids magic. I love kids. I have people call me all the time and ask if I can do their, you know, their elementary aged kids' birthday. And I send them to somebody else just because it's not my thing. And I want to make sure they get the good entertainment. Let's say sure. Jack of all trades, master of none. I figure if I get too far into the kids stuff, then I'm taken away from the stuff that I do for adults and older teens. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I prefer to do the corporate stuff or sure. like I said, older teens. Yeah.
So, question, it just popped in my head with working with kids like that, and that just puts you in a non-intrusive environment with them because you're a magician, you're a comedian, but you're an adult. What's the youth of America looking like right now? I mean, is there do we have hope? Because I know we talk about a lot as adults, and every generation's done it. This is it. I'm from a generation with the British invasion. And rock and roll is the devil music, right? And this is it, right? We've all went through that, but there is a lot of talk right now, right? With the young folks, this might be the end game. Sometimes it's just like, man, there's no fixing.
Yeah.
Do you see that with these kids, or do you see hope?
I definitely see hope. I absolutely see hope. I am not a big fan, although I'm on social media. I am not a big fan of social media. I think social media is a big downfall. I mean, just people are just awful to each other. I mean, like Twitter, I'm on Twitter, but I'm not on Twitter right now. I just haven't deleted just in case I end up going back. But man, just hateful stuff on Twitter. Everybody complaining about everything. But when I go to the schools, you know, I see it doesn't seem like that long ago. I graduated in 89, but it doesn't feel like, you know, 30 some years ago that I sat in that school. And though things are different for them, it's still, you know, still students just trying to figure this life out. And, you know, I can still remember when I was in high school, hearing my parents talk about how life was so much simpler when they were younger. And now I'm saying it, you know, when I see the students now, I'm like, man, life was so much simpler when I was younger and so much better. It's just different. It's different, but the same. They're still, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, but there's always been a lot of crazy stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you know, before me, it was the fear of, you know, the nuclear bomb and all that kind of stuff. Not that that's completely gone away, but still, we've always had stuff going on. You know, it's, I don't think it's much different than it was when we were in high school. There's always that hope. There's always hope. And if you can get somebody in there, whether it's me or somebody else, to just kind of, you know, pour into them for a minute, let them know that, hey, you know, my thing is that it goes by pretty quick. And what you're going to want to do is look back on your life and think, I was the person I want to be. I kind of start, you know, doing some magic. But one of the quotes I use, I don't know who said it, but it really affected me when I heard it, was today is the past that somebody in the future wishes they could come back to. So, you know, I try to tell them, like, you know, I don't stand up there for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour and tell them what not to do. Mm-hmm. I give them three things that I incorporate in my life to live a life that I can be proud of now. And when I get down the road, look back on and think I was exactly who I wanted to be. So yeah, I think there's still hope. There's still some, you know, I see some kids that I'm like, oh my gosh, but there were kids that I looked at when I was in high school that I would think, oh my gosh. And you know, you talk about, it's funny. Like you talk about, like, I'm a big, big music fan. I love my 80s. You know, that's when I was in high school and in middle school was the 80s. So the 80s for me was huge. And I always think, like, man, music was so much better back then. But, you know, it's funny. Like, you see some of these artists today and you see some of the stuff they wear. And it's easy for me to look at these people and like, that guy is a weirdo. That girl is a weird. Why is she dressed like that? But then I go back to think about Elton John and the way he dressed.
Right.
Boy George, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's my parents were looking at them then thinking they're crazy. I'm like, no, these are just great musicians. So right. I try not to be too judgmental because, you know, like I said, it's, you know, it's the same, but different.
Yeah. Yeah. I fall into that same trap, David. I see some of the kids and some of the weird, but then I realize that, so I go back a few years before you, I could be your, painful to say, much older brother.
Yeah.
Much older, like right. Second marriage, older brother, you know, right. Type. But anyway, but we used to take bell bottom pants and have our mom slit up the side and sew towels in them, terry cloth towels to make them even bigger.
Make them bigger.
So I don't have a lot to say, I guess.
Yeah. What I'm well, saying. I'm pulling up my Instagram right now to show you a picture that I posted not long ago. See, I don't know if it'll show up on this or not, but that was
you?
Me. Yeah, it's me.
Man, you even had longer hair than I did. I had long hair down to here, but that's impressive.
Yeah, that was almost got to my waist.
That's impressive.
But I was, you know, I was a good kid. I looked like some sort of a rock and roll freak, but yeah, I was a good kid. I just looked like a rock star. And I think that's the way it is today. You got a lot of these kids just trying to express look, and we look at them like, what are you thinking? You look ridiculous. But there were plenty of people that looked at me, older people that looked at me back then, and like, that's what's wrong with that guy. Hair to his face. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can imagine I would wear that and some other really weird stuff sometimes. And I went to a town that had 1,201 people.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't like I could disappear.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like there's a class of 900 in my senior class where I think there's 112 in my graduating class. I think the largest that we ever had or one of the largest. So, but yeah, I get it. I agree. You know, real quick, I loved your take on social media because, you know, as you know, I do quite a bit of social media stuff.
Uh-huh.
And Wes, you met, our producer, director, buddy, pal, occasional bodyguard, stealer of food. He's a magician. He steals my food every time. You know, we find ourselves talking about social media a lot because he's a social media guru. That's what he does. He does all the Building Wins Live social media work. But I don't like it from a standpoint. I do very little personally, as in just for you to see weird stuff I'm doing.
Yeah.
I like social media because I happen to believe that in today's world, it's the website of yesteryear. And if you're not on social media as a business, and you're not communicating on there on a regular basis, you have to go where your customers live.
Uh-huh.
And good, bad, or indifferent, that's where they live.
Yeah. And that's exactly why I'm still on there.
Yeah. But I do a lot of personal stuff too, as far as where I was out to dinner or what I did or stuff like that, along with business things or quotes or inspirational stuff or whatever I do. But it's all geared back to one thing. Back to kind of circle back to what we talked about early on that you said so well, I want people that have not met me yet.
Mm-hmm.
But then they seen me here. They see me on a on another podcast I guest on. They see social media stuff I do.
Yeah.
And then they finally get a hold of me. I finally wander into their place in Central New York someday. I want them to go, I know this guy.
Yeah.
I've never met him. Right. But I know this guy, right?
Yeah.
And that's the beauty, I think, of social media.
Well, yeah. And as long as we're not hating on people, that's what drives me crazy about social
media.
It's just the anger, and that's why I think Twitter is the worst as far as what I've seen so far. Like Instagram, maybe I'm just following the wrong people. Twitter just seems to send me stuff that they think I'm interested in, and it's all just people complaining about other people.
Well, a lot of people, even though it's got their handle, whatever it may be, they're still they feel anonymous, right? And so they can get away with saying things that you probably wouldn't sit here in front of me and say, because you know I might pop in the nose, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I can't really figure out even who you are for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because nobody really knows, right? A lot of those. So, it's a good take on that. So, as we wrap up, because we banged out 35 minutes already, buddy, and I told you we'd go about 30. Fast.
Yeah.
But give me the should ask questions, because what did we miss? Is there something that I should have asked you that you're going, when the hell is he going to shut up and ask me about this? Or anything you want to finish up with so people will get to know David McCreary and maybe reach out to you?
That's a good question. I don't know if there is or not. I'm really bad at when I do an event and people ask, hey, do you have a bio that we can read? I'm really bad at those because I don't like to – it's funny. I like to talk about myself if it's a funny story, but to talk about myself like, hey, I do this and this and this, and he's performed for these folks and this, so I think we hit everything. Okay. Like if you have an event and you want to have a good time, you want to have some fun, get hold of me. I'll travel anywhere. We'll laugh. And I promise you, your people will have a blast no matter what your event is. I've done some crazy events. Let me tell you real quick about the worst event. This is faster than the last story. I got hired by, this was early on in my career. I'd been doing stand-up comedy and magic for maybe 3 or 4 years at this point. And I didn't know to ask enough questions. So the Columbus Public Library, they get hold of me and they're doing an event for some of their employees. And it's at a bowling alley. So I, without asking, just assume, they want me to do my stand-up show. I just assume they have a banquet room reserved there at the bowling alley.
Sure.
They don't. They have two lanes reserved. They want me to do my stand-up show out, like where you approach with the bowling ball, out there with people bowling on either side of me, you know, public bowling here, music playing over the thing. They want me down there while they're sitting up there where they have to keep the food. And they want me to do my stand-up show down there.
Boy.
And I'm like I said, being fairly new at this, I didn't know exactly how to handle this. So I tried. I get down there and I'm doing, and it's just obviously going awful. And I finally did like one or two things. I'm like, guys, this isn't working. I said, I'm going to put this stuff away. I'm going to walk around, do some close up magic for you right in front of your face, and we'll have some fun. And that's what I ended up doing. But man, it was awful. But other than that event, I promise you, I can make your event a lot of fun.
Well, I can tell you, having got to know you. And also having participated in at least two, if not more, events where you've been at, that is one thing. Highly recommend you.
You're
a blast to be around. I look forward to. I'll say it this much, my friends out there. I look forward. I like David and what you do so much that I could be convinced to go to an event I don't even want to go to if you were there. And I truly mean that.
Thank you.
It's good stuff. So, is that you?
There
holy comedian, magician, MC.
Yeah, look there's at that. You, yeah. There is looking at my see if I've yeah, I do all that stuff.
Wow. look at that. You've been
see, I won't say, but there you go. Oh, let me give a shout out to Jason Day. I don't know if he's on there or not. I don't see his event. I get to host Jason Day, the golfer, his Brighter Days event, and he just won the tournament yesterday.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
So you're obviously by those. And that, you know, it's you've done some pretty good big events with some pretty well-known people. So
I've been blessed to get to do this stuff for a living and meet some awesome, awesome people. You know, it's opened some awesome doors, and yeah, it's just very, very cool.
Awesome. Well, good. Well, my friends, we have been running David's along the bottom. I love your website, stuffdaviddoes.com.
I was shocked it was available. Yeah. Like I looked on like social media, Stuff David Does, like at Instagram, it's not available, but the website was. So
that's amazing. So, yeah. That's good stuff. And they can follow you on all the social media platforms
just David McCrary.
Yeah. So follow David, check him out, hire him.
Yeah, let's have some fun together.
Let's make some stuff happen. All right, buddy.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on, my friend.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you. We'll see you soon, hopefully.
You got it. The next time I'm in Ohio, I get out your way. You never know. Yeah. I've been known to reach out and say, "Hey, I could certainly use a coffee. You know where there's any?"
I know places. Are you in Florida?
I am right now. Yeah.
I'd rather come down there than you come up here.
Well, I agree. And if you come down here, we'll have a coffee or a Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. That's my code word for a red grape type beverage. I don't know. I got started with that once and it just becomes fun to me sometimes. So fun that we, and I'm going beyond what I meant to say, but you talk about making impressions and finding little things that help people remember you and think of you. I've talked about for probably a year at least on this show and anywhere else I get a chance, Dr. Pepper, because I love Cabernet, right? I'm a big Cab fan. But I was starting to say Dr. Pepper sometimes in case there's anybody in the audience that maybe didn't like drinking. But then I recognized that I don't care. I mean, I do, but I don't care that much. I mean, if you like me and you like what I do, you're going to like me with or without the Cabernet, right?
If somebody has a problem with you drinking a cab, somebody needs a little more joy in their life.
Exactly. But I was saying Dr. Pepper, and then I let the cat out of the bag a couple times of what it was. Uh-huh. And a good friend of mine, been on our show, and he is in the metal roofing industry. We're going to meet up at the trade show. And I hadn't got there yet. I was on my way traveling, I think. And he has a picture. He takes a picture in the show hall on a little table of a Dr. Pepper, and he goes, "Randy Chafee, I'm here. Where are you?" I still save that picture because that's a reminder that, do the stuff that I talk about doing, right? Be visible and be out there because people pick up on that stuff. And
that's great.
It's an innocent little goofy, stupid little thing, but it stuck in his mind enough to take the can and actually take a picture of it and actually send it. He posted it on social media. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's fantastic.
Pretty cool stuff. Yeah, but brilliant. Bye, my brother. I appreciate you being on, friend. We'll catch up soon somewhere. You got it.
Sounds good.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Cheers. All right. We managed to get through 35, 40 minutes and not getting me disappeared, which is pretty amazing in itself. But seriously, folks, if you need a comedian, MC, a magician to walk around, whatever he calls that, I forget what he calls it. Something more important than I'm going to say. David is the real deal. I've seen him at least twice, maybe three times at events. And the guy's first class dude. He's just a great guy. So anyway, appreciate him being on today. Wes Wyatt doing a great job. Yeoman's work. Is that the right word? I don't even know what that means. In the control room, in the bunker deep below the clay of. There he is. There he is. Look at that. I'm getting a little glare, Wes. Is that? Can you turn? That was bad. Anyway, I'm going to owe you for that one. Anyway, thank you, Wes, for all you do all the time. And hey, remember, we talk about it a lot, but I can't say it enough. Live it, love it, own it. Love what you do and do what you love, because that's what Wes and I have been doing today. And remember this. Go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.